This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy draft day.
Ooh, draft day.
Caps Pens Day.
Oh, Caps Pens.
It's just a huge day.
Caps, thank you for Pens tuning day, in. Greater than draft day.
Mm. To 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, the show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. We thank you for tuning in this Thursday morning, April 26, 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Good morning.
Morning, Johnny Cake Sawville.
Hello, Rickies.
And Jason Bishop.
Hello, John Paul Flame.
Just a big, big day and a lot to get into. John Kime's going to join us at 7 o'clock. We will talk Redskins NFL draft. We'll talk NBA playoffs. Of course, the Wizards suffered somewhat of a heartbreaker last night because they had a lead in the fourth quarter. We'll get into that, and we'll talk about what LeBron James did in his game. Ray Allen's going to join us, a former teammate of LeBron James. He's going to join us at 8 o'clock. Of course, Caps Pens, game one tonight at Capital One.
Oh, that's a big old monster.
Joe B is going to join us. Joe Beninati.
Very good.
The voice of the Washington Capitals. And Chris Russell is going to join us coming up at 9:40 to talk about the Redskins draft pick. Plus, we have our mock draft. Tom's here.
Tom.
From Grant Danny's show.
I've been looking forward to this for all week.
For Tom to be here?
Well, that. I like Tom.
he wants to be the voice of the millennials today.
Yes.
So he is sitting in that chair.
He's taking that seat today.
I'm a big fan of Tom, but I mean, it's a little different than Lisa. Lisa is just a
Cleveland
little bit
Browns
of a different look.
Cleveland Browns on the clock, Valdez. Cleveland Browns on the clock.
I mean, I like Lisa and all, but I do lots of daily DFS sweats with my man Tommy during football season.
Right? Tom, my guy. Can you get on the mic real quick to be the voice of millennials? You're wearing an RG3 shirt, I believe.
Yeah, of
Tom's
course.
Big into bits.
It's bit day. Anytime Tommy's here, it's bit day.
I just saw Tom, and I am always just so happy to see him. I didn't even realize he was wearing an RG3.
Yes, he is. Yeah,
it's the old throwback homecoming week RG3 jersey because it's one of the worst uniforms I've ever seen, and also it's one of the worst draft picks Redskins have ever had.
Correct.
That's true.
Hey. Tom, by the way.
That is correct. Two correct statements.
As he said the other day, he can be the voice of millennials because he wastes a lot of his money, and a lot of it is on jerseys and or concert t-shirts. And how many jerseys do you own,
and
Tom?
And wrestling t-shirts.
The jerseys is probably in the 50s. Wrestling shirts.
Wow.
Probably an infinite number.
Now, don't take this the wrong way. This is going to come out bad.
Yes.
Okay.
At least you're setting him up for it. You're buzzing him up.
I'm a huge Tom fan. But when you first said he was voice of the millennials, I thought, wasn't he close to 40? Like,
how old is Tom?
I have no idea. He just looks like an older guy
I'm going to say 30.
I think he's 32-ish.
My body and brain. See, what you're remembering is that my neurologist said I had the brain of a 45-year-old, essentially letting me know I was going to have a stroke within the next 5 years.
Yes,
right. But my body, my mortal vessel, is 29 years
old. Only 29?
Nice.
He's only 29.
Could have fooled me.
God, he's such a youngster.
Yeah, he is a millennial.
And let's never forget, Thommy created the Colonel Crazy's rooting section at Magruder High School.
Yes.
That's one of his
he?
Claims to fame.
I am Mr. Colonel Crazy.
Yes,
I didn't realize that.
He's the tip of the spear over
That's
there.
That's funny.
Explain to me Colonel Crazy's.
You know,
I have no idea.
It's we like just, the rowdy student section. He can explain it
we
better.
We just ripped off Duke, and we wanted to sell t-shirts.
So were you the Colonel?
No. We had a colonel who I believe was the basketball coach's son at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we just made really cheap t-shirts from down the street and sold them for $20.
Shocker, you were involved in a t-shirt hustle.
Yeah. Big scheme.
But anyway,
so AWOD is still in timeout.
Yes.
Oh, it's going to last a while.
Oh, yeah, as he should be.
Right? It's going to last a
while. Still in timeout.
And,
it's not in here.
Tom's making a pick. Who are you making a pick on behalf of today in our mock draft, which is at 9 o'clock?
I will be drafting for the San Francisco 49ers. Today.
Very nice.
Big break for the 49ers yesterday. Reuben Foster's girlfriend has withdrawn her claim of domestic violence.
Big surprise.
Isn't that convenient?
Yeah, convenient timing,
money,
too.
Money talks.
Right before the NFL draft, right.
I'm guessing her pockets are a little fatter right now.
How big of a check did John Lynch write?
And then overnight, I guess, you know, these people, they dig up. I think it was Yahoo. They dug up all these old Josh Allen tweets where, you know, he's dropping the N-word and he's being a clown
Hold
in
on,
high
Yahoo
school.
Yahoo still does more than just host fantasy sites?
I guess.
They actually do journalism?
I guess they do investigative journalism.
This
and the
is
guy's
shocking.
Tweet history.
Cakes, that's my email.
Right. It's mine, too.
I don't use Gmail.
I'm a
like
dinosaur. I don't have an AOL email, but I still have a Yahoo email. I know.
Is that the one you use?
My wife has an AOL email, too. I get it.
I have an AOL. Because, you know what? I can't get any of the names, like Eric Bickle, or I can't get any of the, even E.Bickle or all that stuff. It's all taken.
Even on Gmail?
Yeah, of course. Everyone in the whole world's on Gmail.
Yeah.
Do you know how many silly Eric Bickles are?
AOL is so outdated.
AOL is better than Errol's.
Wow. Oh, it was Errol's.
I mean, come
Why can't you just use Bic?
I don't get sized.
I love Bic. Bic Bucks.
I watched 10 minutes of You've Got Mail with my wife a couple nights ago, just scanning around the channels. Do you know how outdated that movie is?
Oh, my God.
That movie is about a small bookstore getting run out of town by a big giant bookstore that's moving into town.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't understand? Big giant bookstores
are now getting
run out of town.
Right.
Yeah. You've got mail. Well, that's how old that movie is.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but
fossil.
It still probably works because it's just a rom com.
And that movie, because I don't even remember, did we have cell phones? Were they.
Ooh, I mean, that had to be the 90s.
At that point?
Probably not.
Maybe like. The first,
like a big sneaker
iteration of them, maybe, but I mean, people weren't whipping around smartphones left and right.
I remember when Jason drove one of his rich uncle's Beamers around.
Yeah.
You had one that was corded.
Yes.
You know, and looked like that was probably the early 90s, late 80s, whatever
probably, that was. Yeah, or I'm going to say more early 90s.
Like Gordon Gekko.
Yeah. No, the thing was big. It was about this big.
This big giant thing.
It was as big as Shaquille O'Neal's shoe.
Yeah, it looked like Shaq's feet.
Yeah.
With a cord. But you were a big silly driving around on the phone.
That was the end thing, man. That's where it all started.
Yeah.
By the way, major, major road rage incident for me this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, I've told you. You got to calm down with that.
First of all, let me just say I did not sleep well last night. It was just a bad night's sleep.
You didn't take the Tramadol or whatever?
I did not take it. And a couple movements with my elbow or my shoulder, and I was just in severe pain for most of the night. So I didn't sleep well. I was up for most of the night. And then I'm driving on 66 JP, and, you know, I'm just going with the flow of traffic. I'm in the left lane on 66 going through Arlington.
About 78 miles an hour?
No, probably 65-ish.
Okay.
I mean, there was a lot of cars on the road. And a car comes up on my ass, and literally this car is inches away from me.
Right.
All right. When I say this car is tailgating me, inches away. Not a car length away or two car lengths. Inches.
Are you all the way in the left lane?
I'm in the left lane.
Okay.
All right. And this car, and I can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
So... For about 2 miles, this car tailgates me.
Mm.
Why?
I don't know.
Because they want to pass.
Because
them.
They're idiots.
Oh, they're just in
they
a
think
hurry.
He's going
because
too
they
slow.
Want, because they want me to kill them. That's why. So eventually, this car gets into the right lane and
zooms
and
past.
It doesn't really zoom because there's traffic in the right lane too. This car can't go anywhere.
Mm.
So I get immediately. I switch over to the right lane and I get right on this person's ass.
You
now it's on. Now
and
it's
I,
on.
High beams on. I start honking. I'm right on their ass, close as they were to me, right? For about, I don't know, 50 feet. And then I get back into the left lane because I want to tell them how I really feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I get in the left lane, and I look over, and it's two Hispanic women. And I say, I say the F word 100 times. I can't say it, obviously, here.
Oh, you rolled the window down?
Yeah, and I flipped them the bird.
This is all at 70-plus miles per hour.
Yes. And I'm screaming at
them.
I'm screaming at them.
Right.
F you. Yeah. F you. Flipping on F you. And this, she looked at me, and then she looked straight ahead. She was terrified.
Yeah.
She didn't know what she was
she
doing.
She didn't know she poked the bear so early in the morning.
Oh, my God. You don't understand how bitter I was.
Yeah.
Eric, you have no idea. I wanted to kill that
I had a. I'm sorry. I had a truck this morning on my ass, because I actually drive slow. I was in the right lane. I was getting ready to get off the Beltway to get on the BUW Parkway. And he was right on my butt. And I knew as soon as he got the sliver of an opportunity, he was going to race around me. You know how guys do that?
Sure.
Like they're not happy with your pace.
Right.
And they want to go 80. And just let him go. Just let him go. You know what I mean?
You treat it differently than I do.
Yeah.
I was just bitter. very bitter. And it's carried over to the show. I'm not happy right now.
Right.
So today you don't feel dipsy-doo, deedly-dee?
No. Tomorrow I will, because I will take the tram.
You're going to be really upset when Tommy DeLay picks DJ Moore at number 9 overall in the mock draft in the 9 o'clock hour.
Well,
you're
going to
be so mad.
It's not like we have great receivers.
Hey, we should
probably
mention,
could use them.
It's a good point.
So I opened the show saying we've got a ton of things going on, from the Wizards playoffs to the Caps playoffs to the NFL draft. Well, we also have some great giveaways throughout the show.
Very good.
So stay tuned to the show. Coming up at 7:55 and 8:55, we're giving away tickets to see the Caps game one. That would be tonight.
Yes, it would.
Of round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's at Capital One Arena. So you want to listen at 7:55 and 8:55. We're also giving away some Chalk Talk tickets. We're going to do that when we come back after the break. So you can win tickets to go see Chalk Talk with Sean Doolittle June 6th at the DC Improv. Nats Bats finally got going yesterday.
I feel like this happened last year where they struggled for a good 7 to 10 games, and then they just exploded. It might have even been on the same West Coast trip, but yeah, they got it going.
I hope it's the sign of things to come. I always tend
Trey
to,
with five hits, Trey Bay.
I always tend to think when these things happen that they come in spurts and they disappear again.
Shouldn't they come when your fourth or fifth starter is pitching, not when Scherzer's pitching?
Right, it's just gratuitous.
The timing.
That would have been nice.
With Scherzer, you just need generally 3 runs.
Right.
3 runs is going to do it. But Matt Adams, I think, had 6 RBIs. But the big story, of course, last night locally, the Wizards had an opportunity to go up 3-2. They have
right
a 5-point lead with about 8 minutes to go.
Yep.
And they just fell apart offensively. And it's happened all season long.
I feel like it was almost carbon copy of how game one went.
Yeah.
Where they were really tight. I think they even had the lead late in that game. And then the last 4 minutes, they just died. They made stupid turnovers, couldn't hit a shot.
Missed so many threes. I don't know. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me.
Oh, they were
but
terrible.
They were terrible.
I think they
from
were
the 3-point
line. 5 for 26 from threes.
Well, that was in the game. Just in particular, that fourth quarter, they had open looks.
They only had 4 field goals over the last basically 9 minutes.
Yeah,
right.
They end up losing 108-98, but they had that lead. I think it was 88-84, something like that.
With
about 8 minutes to go.
It was 87-82,
and it disappeared so quickly. I went from thinking, "Wow, we could steal this," to "This is a big fat loser" in about 8 minutes. It was so quick,
and it's been an issue all season long for whatever reason. And John Wall had another great game overall. When you look at the numbers, 26-9-9, nearly had a triple double.
Don't forget the 7 turnovers
down the stretch. He hasn't played well. Bradley Beal, we've talked about it, is one of the least clutch players in the NBA statistically. And I saw tweets last night. They were like, is Otto Porter on the team?
Yeah.
Like, what does he do?
I know.
Well, he's been doing what he's done this whole playoff series. He gets between eight.
Not much.
Well, he gets between 8 and 10 shots per game. And, I mean, it's hard to put up big numbers when Wall and Beal have the ball and are putting up many shots.
I feel like Wall's got, look, it's hard to not take an open jumper. For an NBA player.
Mm-hmm. But especially when they do it all year.
But John, I mean, John just can't hit those shots.
The three-pointers. He can hit the mid-range.
No, the mid-range. He was fine on the mid-range.
He's 3 for 16 in the series.
In the first half, he hit probably 5 or 6 straight.
Yeah, but he's also hit big ones. He's a low-percentage guy, but he has hit big ones in his career.
Well,
I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah, because they dare him to take it.
I just feel like he's got to turn that down, and he's got to get closer to the hoop. You know, I'm sure that they were a little gassed there in the fourth quarter because they played a ton of minutes.
I mean, Wall logged 44 minutes.
I know,
what
I
is
know.
He in his 9th game back?
I know. That's a lot of minutes for him.
Beal at 36.
I just feel like if it's an open 26-footer is not the best look for John Wall.
The 36 Wizard- is fine, but the John Wall thing, I saw a lot of criticism on Twitter about Scott Brooks' coaching decisions. The fact that he didn't give Wall any rest. And Wall was playing really well, but kind of had a crappy fourth quarter.
Wizards went scoreless for 3 minutes and 49 seconds. From the 4:05 to 16:02 left in the game.
It was right there for the taking.
Well, but that's how NBA games are. They're always right there for the taking, 9 times out of 10.
Well,
here's the thing about the Wizards. The Wizards just don't have enough three-point threats. They just don't.
Well, Otto's supposed to be that guy. He's supposed to be that guy. He shoots a high percentage.
He's just not a threat.
I know.
He's not someone that you worry about hitting big
shots.
He's
just too laid back.
Statistically,
Bradley is, yes, but the other guys are just not. They don't have the number of 3-point shooters the Raptors have. That's for sure.
Yeah, here's the thing. Statistically, Otto in percentage, he is one of the best. But if you just lined up guys and you said who's going to win a 3-point contest, Otto or C.J. Miles? C.J. Miles is going to win it.
Or Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, there's tons of guys who are better three-point shooters in actuality. He gets the benefit of playing with John Wall and gets a lot of wide-open threes, but he just doesn't generate any offense himself.
And I will say this again because we had that debate, and John Wall had a great game, but DeRozan had another 30-point game. He's had three in the series.
Yeah, he's a great scorer.
In the first half, he was pretty much unstoppable. He's not a three-point shooter. He probably should limit that, although he hit some last night, but...
He's become much a better three-point shooter.
He just gets in the lane. He finds ways, and his
mid-range.
His mid-range
jumpers, but he actually all day
his mid-range is really good.
Yeah. He isn't what killed them in the fourth quarter. He had 2 points.
Yeah, he didn't.
So
yeah,
in the fourth
right.
quarter, they contained.
He looked like he was a little tired too.
DeLon Wright took over again.
Yeah, that you know 32-footer. It was just huge. Put him up five, I think.
You know, at some point, maybe when
here's the thing about the Wizards. When you go to Toronto, you got to be better than good, because they do have, for whatever reason, cakes. They have a significant home court advantage. They're 37-7 in that building. You got to be better than good in that building.
I want to play when we come back, because I know we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to play some of the post-game press conference stuff from Brad and John. And there's just no sense of urgency in their comments. And it's like, dude, you guys are on the brink of elimination. And I don't know, it's just annoying. And I feel like that's the attitude that they've had all year long. And you can hear it.
Well, I could see them winning here tomorrow night, right?
Of course.
And then going there and just, you know, doing what happened last year where
they have
lost
a streak at home in playoff games.
They can certainly
they win home playoff games.
I think I would bet it'll go down to the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. That's what happens in the NBA.
Just like I said before the series, there's not really any separation between these two teams. Even though Toronto was the one seed and the Wizards are the eight seed, they're pretty even in talent.
Well, the separation is the home court advantage for Toronto is huge.
And maybe, if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, a lot of people on social media were saying the separation is also at the coaching at end of games. And at the end of games, they tend to play a lot of iso ball. I think they were 25th ranked out of 30 teams in fourth quarter efficiency. Mm-hmm. They're just not a good team down the stretch for whatever reason, even though they have two stars.
They do rely a lot on those two guys.
I was also watching your boys on NBC Sports Washington, Chris Miles and those guys, and Corey Alexander, Travis. And they were really pointing to, where was Mike Scott down the stretch? Like, it really turned when Mike Scott left.
Because they put Otto back in.
Yeah.
And Otto did nothing. So if you want to talk some Wizards, you can. We'll be talking about the Wizards. We'll be talking Caps Pens, talking NFL draft throughout the show. Phone number is 800-636-1067. And when we come back, give you a chance to win those Chalk Talk tickets right here on the Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies All 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. EB says I say it every day, but... it truly is a packed show.
You do say it every day.
Well, our producers are doing a good job packing the show. We got a lot going on. I won't say that in July. Mark my words. I won't say in July.
All right.
But right now,
during the dead zone,
there is a lot going on. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, NFL draft starts tonight. And we've got a bunch of giveaways. Giving away Caps Pens tickets. For game one of the playoffs
tonight
at 7:55 and 8:55. So mark that down. Listen to the whole show. 7:55 and 8:55.
Yep.
And, of course, one of the big events we have coming up here at the station, Grant and Danny are hosting a Chalk Talk with Sean Doolittle, the Nats closer. It's coming up in June at the DC Improv, June 6th.
Doolittle, awesome guy. Great interview.
Yes.
Yep. Really, really
and
good guy.
Smart attend. Guy.
Yep. We will give away a pair of tickets right now. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You'll win those tickets. Of course, you can buy them, dcimprov.com. But win your way in right now on the Junkies. You can get more details at thefandc.com/contests. We were talking about the Wizards game right before we went to the break, and it really was there for the taking to take a 3-2 lead. The series
up five,
right now,
8 minutes left.
It stands at 3-2. Game six tomorrow night at Capital One Arena. If it holds to form, the Wizards win because every game has been won by the home team thus far. It's interesting that you're watching this series, and of course, for half the season, they didn't have John Wall. And during the latter portion of the season, Thomas Satoransky played really well. And it's just interesting how Ty Lawson comes over from China, and all of a sudden, he's a heavy part of the rotation.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, how many times has that happened where a guy's been signed literally the day before the playoffs start and has a key role like that?
He's assimilated.
No, definitely.
He's assimilated himself really well in the lineup.
And you're like, how is that guy in China?
I know.
Was it all like the DUI related? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he just fell out of favor with NBA teams.
Blackballed a little bit? I mean, that guy's got big-time talent still.
Oh, yeah. So it's interesting that that's happened, but it does get us to the point of John Wall logging so many minutes. So he played the entire fourth quarter, and he played 44 minutes. And this was a criticism last year of Scott Brooks. In game 7 of the second round against the playoffs, Kelly Oubre played, I think, 20 seconds, something like that. It was less than a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Every team tightens their bench come playoff time, but he really tightens it. You look at the numbers. All right, Mike Scott played 14 minutes. Oubre,
I'm a little surprised by that.
Played 26. Then you had Mahimi with 8 minutes.
Yep.
Lawson with 14 and Satoransky with 4.
Mm-hmm. No,
he doesn't play his bench hardly at all.
Well, look, he's going to get criticized, and I can nitpick a few of those players, but when you are in a pivotal game 5 and you pretty much have to win that game, you're going with your superstars.
Right, but maybe give Wall a 2-minute blow in the fourth quarter.
Well, maybe he talked to Wall and Wall said, "I'm good." You know, maybe they talked and he said, "Look, I can go."
Because he
did give him a couple breaks earlier in the game.
And there are timeouts. I get it. There are TV
and who do
timeouts.
You trust? Timeouts. John Wall, even though he's a little gassed, or Ty Lawson?
But that's the thing. Maybe just 2 minutes of rest, and you make one of those threes that you miss. They missed what I thought were wide open
looks.
We're
second-guessing now. We're second-guessing.
Well, that's
right, but it's a common theme when it comes to Coach Brooks going back to last season.
That's true. He likes to ride his horses a little too much.
My problem is I just don't feel a sense of urgency from these guys. I definitely do more when they're at home. Mm-hmm. You see it. On the road, you know, at times they play that way. But listen, do you have some of the quotes post-game? They're not awful quotes or anything, but it's just, and it's hard to when you lose, you're kind of down. But I just didn't feel like these guys understand that they're on the brink of elimination. They're kind of acting very casual, like, yeah, we're right there, we'll be there, it's all good. No, guys, you guys are on the brink of elimination.
First, praise my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No, we just missed some shots. We feel like we got a lot of good ones, especially late down the stretch. A lot of them didn't fall, but for the most part, you know, we feel like we didn't shoot it well and didn't play a great game and still had an opportunity to win. You know, I think they just made some bigger shots and some big momentum plays down the stretch that really hurt us in the fourth. But I think for the most part, even for the way we shot it, we didn't shoot it great. We only made 5 threes to their 11. You know, so, I mean, we lost that category, and we were still pretty much in the game. But if we just knock down some more shots, I think we'll be okay.
I mean, that's what it comes down to is the bench in the series. Because essentially, if you think about it, Toronto has 7 starters. Because Miles and DeLon Wright, they're going to play similar minutes to the starters.
Right.
I mean, they're going to play in the high 20s.
The Wiz don't have that luxury.
They don't have that. Right? So, you know, that's why Sato gets 4 minutes. And I was a little surprised Mike Scott only got 14. But you
kind of have that with Oubre.
A little bit with Oubre, yeah. But when you can put Miles and DeLon Wright in there and rely on them for 30 minutes and they can both shoot it, I mean, that's just a big edge.
I do agree with Eric's contention, though, that they generally have a too cool for school kind of laid back attitude. However, the reason why I picked the Wizards in 6, which is now impossible, but the reason why I felt like the Wizards had a really good chance to beat the Raptors in this series, despite the fact that it was a 1-8 seed, should be a mismatch, is I felt like they would turn up the intensity in the playoffs. And I do think they have. I don't think you could say they lost because there was a lack of intensity or energy on the court.
Well, did you hear this towards the end of the presser? I thought this was kind of weird.
Seems like it's been a home court series. Wood, how do you like your chances coming back here for Game 7?
We love our chances. We're very confident. Like we said, it's the best out of 3. And for somebody to win, the series got to win on the road. So that's what our goal is.
It's like they just skip over game 6.
Well, he's assuming they win at home.
Well, he asked them about game 7.
He said he asked about game seven.
But don't you think that would say, let's take care of game 6? And then
I have no problem with what he said right there. He was set up to answer it that way.
He asked about game 7, so he answered it. But I will say, I still think in their comments, he just sounds too cool for school.
Mm.
I don't. I would be angrier. I would be more pissed off.
I don't think they played like that. I just thought that they were in there all game down the stretch.
They were
just
gassed at the end.
They were tired, but sure. There wasn't lackadaisical. They missed shots
and the heavy minutes from the Wall, sure. from and the Beal, regular season. They're adding up. Wall and Beal especially. Look at Beal's numbers in the fourth quarter.
They had open looks. They missed shots down the stretch. Yeah. They could have stolen the game, and it didn't happen. So now they.
Correct.
They were 5 for 26 from threes. You're not going to win a lot of games that way.
Beal's numbers in the fourth quarter have been awful all season long, even when he was fresh.
And the worst fourth quarter players I've ever seen.
I don't think it's a fact of him not being clutch. I think it's a factor of him being tired.
You're
worn out at the end of the game.
I actually
you're not as effective.
Part of the reason was he didn't have John Wall for half the season, and they keyed on him. But they missed. I agree with Bradley Beal's comments. You may say it was casual. I agree with his comments. They had good looks. They missed it. Beal had good looks. Oubre had good looks. They just, all of a sudden, I don't know if they were tight, they missed shots. And it's funny because I actually tweeted something out with about 9 minutes to go. It was right before they grabbed that 5-point lead. And I was like, hopefully the Raptors feel the pressure and start to get tight because, you know, they have to win at home. Yeah. And it went the other way. Yeah. Maybe the Wizards got tight down the stretch.
When the Wizards took that 5-point lead with 8.5 minutes to play, they got outscored, I think the math is right here, 26-15 to end the game.
Just like game one.
It was a complete flip-flop of what we thought might happen. Bottom line is Toronto's just better at shooting the jumpers.
I will say there was a stretch there.
And that has been the difference.
There was a stretch there. Was that kind of about the four-minute mark or whatever where they took the lead by a point or so, and then John Wall had a layup and missed it. And it that's a foul call 89% of the time. And I couldn't believe they didn't call it.
Yeah, there was a couple of them that could have. Maybe here, you know, he gets the call. And on the road,
didn't
he
get the call. And then they went on, they got a quick transition bucket, and then boom.
Odds are in favor of the Raptors. They have home court, but Wizards haven't lost a home playoff game in what? The last nine times?
I think it's nine, yeah.
So we'll see what happens tomorrow night at Capital One Arena. Let's bang out some of these phone calls. A bunch of people want to chime in.
All right, let's go to Drew in D.C. Drew, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing today?
What's up? Doing all right. What's up?
All right. I'm so frustrated, you know, with this because for some reason, you know, Scott Brooks, he's not an X and O's coach. You know, they run the pick and roll with Gortat. If that doesn't work, they set it up and try to run it again. Then John Wall dominates the ball, so he passes the ball with like 6 seconds left. And everybody talks about Otto. I've been to the last two playoff games, and I watched it. John Wall's first option, if that pick and roll doesn't work, he looks for Bradley Beal.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I saw Otto open on the wing several times. He don't look at Otto as an option.
Yeah.
You know, Scott Brooks, you know, I don't see why he doesn't play Mike Scott a lot more. When you look at what Mike Scott did to them in the playoffs, when he played, Mike Scott is a very consistent player. He's proven. And Kelly Oubre, to me, you know, he's good for defensive prep, but down the stretch, he shouldn't be in the game, man. He doesn't give you that quality. He plays good defense, but I think Mike Scott should be in the game. And I don't even want to say nothing about Morris. I don't even think he's on the team anymore. But, I keep up the great work, man.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
I agree with a lot of you said. I would probably give Mike Scott more minutes than Morris because at least, you know, I know Morris can defend a little bit and he gets boards, but Scott is a threat from three-pointers.
Yep.
He is. He can hit those.
He's a better stretch four.
He's a better stretch. And with Scott Brooks, it's clear that he just trusts his star players more than he does his bench.
He likes his core.
In a tight game.
Yep.
He just does.
Let's go to Brent in Leesburg. Brent, what's up?
What's happening, EB?
What's up?
Here's not too much. Here's my thing. Back to that previous caller, Scott Brooks, I would disagree. I think, you know, the way Scott Brooks coaches, his hands are tied to a certain extent. He has to run the game, the ball, through his most valuable player, the face of the franchise, John Wall. So if you look at the way, though, the team played when John Wall was out, they were moving the ball, they were spreading the ball, they were more efficient. They were fun to watch, but that's not why I'm calling. I'm calling because as a Wizards fan, I'm over the excuses. I can't take John Wall's antics and the cancer that it's become inside the club with the way they cry to the officials. I mean, winners take responsibility, right? John Wall is a loser. He's a loser in that he's always looking to blame others. There is no urgency. He's crying to the officials. And honestly, I want to support the Wiz. I'm a Wiz guy, but I think it's time to blow it up, bring in fresh faces, and let's
you're not
start
gonna
this
be able to
over.
Blow it up. No yeah. one's even I mean, I'm a huge John Wall guy. You're never no one's gonna take that.
No,
contract.
John Wall's not going anywhere.
And lay off the gas pedal on blowing it up. That's what Cakes wanted to do to the Caps a week ago. It could turn.
I did, yes. And I wanted to do it to the Wiz, I think 2 years ago when they got off to the really rough start.
Right.
I was adamant. I mean, just trade everybody. Look, blow it up, dynamite it, do whatever you have to do.
People are frustrated because of what happened last night, but they can win game six here. I expect them to. And then game seven is going to be a war. It's going to be a toss-up. They just got to play more consistent down the stretch. They can win the game. It's not over yet.
And I don't disagree totally what he says about John Wall, but Wall had 26-9-9 last night. They had some turnovers down the stretch. Yeah. I get it. And as a team, they had 21 assists. So during the whole everybody eats era, they were right around 30 per game. They're a different team with John Wall. But I would posit that if you didn't have John Wall and you rolled out Thomas Satoransky as your starter, the series would probably be over.
Oh, they'd be losing these games by 25 points.
The series would be
over.
No
one's saying that, but since you have John Wall, some fans are just probably feel like they should see more.
Let's go to Marvin.
I'm not trying to put it all on John, but they should see more. I mean, some of the turnovers in the fourth quarter, you know, he had a couple of them.
Marvin, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Yep.
I am totally frustrated. I mean, like I said, or I was thinking, Marquise Morris is the biggest disappointment. They actually played C.J. Miles on him during that important stretch in the fourth quarter. And because of Scott Brooks's arrogance or foolishness, he doesn't understand that if they're going to do that, you start your offense with that mismatch and start the other team in rotation. I was disgusted by that. They allowed them to play small against Marquise Morris. And Marquise Morris, as a basketball player, as a human being, he should have been like, give me the rock. Mm-hmm. That was ridiculous. It looked terrible. He had him checking C.J. Miles out on the wing on defense. And that means you know he had to check him on the other end. They didn't have another big man. Siakam wasn't in, and neither was their other power forward.
No, C.J. Miles is only 6'6", right?
Oh, Ibaka.
No, Ibaka, yeah, Ibaka wasn't in. Yeah. So they should have been, like, punishing that. And that's all I have to say. And go Redskins tonight. Make a good draft pick. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Marvin. Appreciate
We are going to talk Redskins draft. Coming up at 7, John Keim is going to join us from ESPN.com. Of course, we have our mock draft at 9 o'clock.
I just feel like if any of the four of us were coaching that team, and it's a tight game, and it's a 1-2-3-point game, whatever it was, late, I think we would do the same thing.
Just ride the studs.
It's hard to look down the bench. It's hard to look down the bench and see. Hold on. Listen to me for a second. It's hard to look down the bench and see Ty Lawson and Sato and, you know, guys like that. And you've got John and Bradley out there, even though you know John's played a ton of minutes. It's hard to go with those guys in a tight game that you have to win. That's why I'm defending Scott a little bit. Yeah, he deserves some criticism. I might go to Mike Scott a little bit more than he did, but it's hard to play someone over John.
They had good looks. They just missed them.
I mean, it's hard to play.
It might have been a little far, but they had good looks.
Still has a pot sticker in his mouth from China from his flight over here. Right. You're going to put him in the game? And I like what he's brought to the team.
He's got a low social credit score because he jaywalks. He's just happy to be here.
Yeah. Right.
I would just try and steal 2 minutes. You know, we all grew up watching the Bulls. They would do a stagger thing where Pippen would be in with Jordan out.
You're and then talking about one of the greatest teams in NBA
history. But a lot of teams have done that where they stagger their stars. And that's generally what he does during the regular season where he staggers them for a while. And then with about six or seven minutes to go,
he staggered a little bit until the end. I'm just telling you, he feels like he has to have his best player in there in a tight game.
He likes his big
sellies. I guarantee you, Scottie Brooks felt like he had to win the game last night.
Yeah. He felt the pressure.
That's why
he's definitely going to feel like that tomorrow night.
Game five winners in that situation, I believe, are 87% to win the series.
He knows it.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. Talking about the Wizards dropping game five in Toronto last night here on the Junkies.
So, JP's son Dylan is here. I guess for Bring Your Kid to Work Day. My daughter Kate is here.
By the way, who decides that?
I don't know. This is like this manufactured, made-up holiday for the kids.
I brought my daughters here years ago when they were younger, but I don't know. Does the government decide?
I will say that actual day has fallen on our mock draft twice. Dylan, it was either last year or 2 years ago, made my draft choice, and he's going to make my draft choice today. We were studying the Buccaneers' needs last night. Very nice.
I just know that I resisted and resisted. I don't know how many times I told her, no, don't come in. You're just going to sit there and be on your iPad. But, you know, I can't say no.
It's better than going to school.
It's hard to say no.
It's hard to say no.
Way better than school.
That's a problem with parenting today.
Right. Dylan came in here a month ago because he was off and his mom was away and I'm at work, so he had no place to go, so he came in. But for Bring Your Child to Work Day, here's what happened. He said, as I saw it, I get like a weekly memo from the school as to what's going on. I said, do you want to come to work with me? And he goes,
I delete those so quickly.
I generally delete it, but I happened to see it,
Cakes. It's the delete.
I hate all those.
And I saw the memo, and I read it, and it said that today was Bring Your Child to Work Day. And I asked him a week or so ago, do you want to come with me on Bring Your Child to Work Day? And he goes, no, I'm good. It's pretty boring.
It is boring.
But, moment of truth. When it comes up and you find out only five kids were going to be in his class.
Right.
And it's school, which lasts the whole day, you know, until 3 o'clock versus here where we're done at 10. All of a sudden, moment
that.
Of truth, he said,
come here for a second.
You know what, Dad? Changing my mind. I'm coming in.
Yeah.
Now, Kate, say hi to everybody.
Hello.
So you've just been sitting there on your iPad. You could just do that at home, right?
Mm-hmm. No, but she would have to go to school today.
Why did you want to come in? You don't know.
She loves the junks.
She wants to lead the entertainment page.
Yes. That's what she should do.
You want to lead the entertainment page? Oh, okay.
No.
You're choking right now.
Too much happening. We're not doing the EP today.
Well, I'll tell you this. That Dylan has already watched about roughly 47 minutes of Fortnite videos.
I'm sure he has.
I'll just say that's all he's doing.
He's big on it.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like every kid is big on it.
Yep. Well, look, I've got a neighbor. I'll call him out again, 36 years old, my friend Eric.
He's 36 and he's big on it?
36 or 37 years old. He plays with the squad every night. Like
Hey, there are a lot of adult gamers. There just are.
No, there are, but there are guys like Danny Rouillet who, you know, hosts the Midday Show with Grant, and he refuses. Absolutely refuses. You know that, right?
He won't cave to play Fortnite.
Drab plays. Drab just told me he's got a squad with his brother.
Danny's got a weird thing where he doesn't like kids beating him and then talking smack.
If you don't like that, then you should get out of the video game playing business altogether.
I don't know this for a fact. Drabby, you could speak to this.
Okay.
I think when Danny plays video games, he's a bit of a loner. Like, he doesn't really play with other people. I think he just sits there in his room and just plays.
He does
like,
it to escape.
It makes sense because
he just sits there and plays by himself.
Remember, he has an aversion to sharing food. Like, he won't even share one French fry. If he has a plate of fries, he will not share.
I can kind of understand being territorial about food. It's like an animal instinct.
He doesn't want to share the experience.
But, you know, the thing about Fortnite, I've seen my son play with his cousin who's in New Jersey, his buddy who's, you know, 4 miles away. It's crazy how they do it.
Right.
So it is a phenomenon, and now he's roughly watched 48 minutes of Fortnite. Wanted to bring this up. So last night the Wizards finished their game, and they choked down the stretch. Unfortunate, because if they go up 3-2 and they come back home, you're thinking they're going to advance.
Right.
And the general thought was, heading into the playoffs, at least this was my thought, is, well, I don't mind them sliding down the standings. Like, they were a 5 seed, then a 6, then a 7, and ultimately they ended up an 8. I was like, as long as they avoid Cleveland. And it seemed like Cleveland was going to be locked in as the 3 seed. And as it turned out, Cleveland kind of stumbled down the stretch, and they finished as the 4 seed. Well, they're playing the Pacers, and everybody just assumed that they were going to finish the Pacers, you know, maybe a gentleman sweep 4-1. But nobody thought it was going to be this war. And after I change the stations from NBC Sports Washington in the Wizards game, I flip it over to the Cleveland game, and Indiana's right there again. They actually were down 6 when I tuned in, but they came back. Bobo made a nice pass to, like, Thad Young. You know, Depot's making plays, and it's right there.
Depot, from the field.
No, Depot struggled.
But I'm just saying.
I mean, he got a lot of boards.
2 for 15.
Yeah, he struggled.
But throughout the series, he's making plays.
Yes.
And last night, they're right there. And with about 27, 28 seconds left, Cleveland has the ball, and LeBron essentially dribbles it off himself. Maybe the ball got turnover.
Right.
So now Indiana has the ball, and you know what's going to happen.
Game tied. Going to
Depot. Last shot situation, and LeBron James showed why he's the best player in basketball, because in a sequence of a couple of minutes, because it's the way that they stretch out NBA games, he blocks Oladipo at the rim.
Depot felt like it was a goaltend, but
watching it live,
very close.
It looked like an amazing block from behind.
Yep.
LeBron blocks it. I think he actually collects the rebound and calls timeout. Bam, bam, bam. And then they draw up a play, or they just, the play is get the ball to LeBron, and he hits an amazing fadeaway three, reminiscent of Michael Jordan's shot over Craig Elo.
3 seconds left. Cleveland triggers in. James, 2 seconds, 1 second for the win. Yeah.
Good for him. Well, something finally went right in LeBron James's life.
Right.
But it was Cakes, this close, Cakes, to being Wizards up 3-2.
Right.
And Pacers, then the Pacers up 3-2. And if they played the Pacers in round two, you would believe you'd have a shot.
I think the Wizards would be the favorite in that matchup.
Might.
It would be close, though. People
but look, LeBron is LeBron. I mean, he had half their points. He had an unbelievable game. He can hit big shots.
That's
even
the reason
some
why
people,
you want to fade him and not have to face him in the playoffs and hope somebody knocks him out before
exactly.
You get to that.
And I still, and JP and I had a huge debate about MVP Harden versus LeBron. LeBron's team without him is poo. I'm just convinced of it. There's just no one you can rely on, really.
I like how you've turned pro-LeBron.
Well, I mean, I was never anti-LeBron. I just feel like the argument with Jordan versus LeBron, I'm still going to go Jordan.
He's
still,
closing
till the day
gap.
I die. But my point is,
well, you admit he's closing the gap.
I mean, he's great, but LeBron is just so much better than everybody else on the court. I don't care who
he
he's playing.
He can single-handedly carry you to a victory.
Yes.
More times
and
than
last
not.
Night, that's what he did. Well, in fact, in the series, that's what he's doing.
He counts for so many points.
But I don't think this bodes well for them. I don't think this bodes well for them. He cannot continue this throughout the playoffs.
Did you see the play? It was early third quarter where he got a rebound. They were making a run because Indiana trailed early or led early, and then Cleveland closed the gap and ended up taking like a 7-10 point lead. There was a rebound that LeBron got, and in midair, he did like a 180 and threw the ball as hard as Verlander throws it to the corner to find, I think it was Korver in the corner. Mm-hmm. Now, Korver missed it, but the athleticism was absurd.
I know the play you're talking about.
Yeah.
My wife actually saw that play. She was not really paying attention, but casually.
In midair,
on,
he catches the ball on a rebound and
goes,
turns
she
and
says
fires
to me,
it to the corner.
She goes,
how's that possible?
She turns to me and goes, is LeBron James a good passer? I was like, are you kidding me?
It's kind of his thing.
Do you remember that play? That was an incredible play.
Yes.
But
he's an amazing
right.
player, but they are a vulnerable team, and that's why going into
by the way,
playoffs,
Cleveland
said,
hasn't won the series yet.
No, and I said this going in, that I could see the Wizards somehow making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but I could also see them losing in the first round, because Cleveland's vulnerable.
Bottom line is the East is pretty wide open.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sixers look great, but they're very young.
Well, I've maintained all along the Wizards are going to lose in the first round. And I think they're 87% to lose at this point.
It's hard to envision them winning in Toronto. Yeah.
Sneak in a couple phone calls real quick before we go to break. We do have John Keim talking NFL draft coming up at 7.
Let's go to Chauncey, D.C. Chauncey, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, you guys. Hey, you guys. I just want to talk about the whole Wizards thing. It was just ludicrous. The Wizards sucked yesterday. Did you see how Morris played?
He wasn't good.
Was out there on-
He wasn't good.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Morris. Is he injured or what? But Morris is not giving us nothing. He was just like a zero. And also Porter. Let's talk about Otto Porter. They're giving him all of this money. And Otto Porter can't even make plays for himself. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't depend on John Wall all the time. Like, you
well,
gotta,
just because they gave Otto money, that didn't mean he was going to all of a sudden start breaking you down off the dribble. That's just not what he does.
He turned into a different player.
Yeah. He got a line. He got to practice. And they're like, he ain't doing none of that at all.
I think Otto's plenty.
Ran over Kyle,
practice
bro?
Plenty.
When he ran over Kyle. You see when he tried to make a play for himself and he just ran over Kyle. They called it on Kyle Lowry, but it was on Otto Porter real. Like, he got to get it together. Coach Brooks, he's not coaching right. He's not calling any times out. Like, it's just crazy, man. They got to do better, man. The Wizards got to do better. If they want to win this series, they got to do better. They got to play better.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you,
right.
Chauncey.
Thank you, buddy.
I mean, Cakes, come on. Otto, he played 31 minutes. He's making $150 million, whatever he's making. He had 4 buckets, missed all of his threes. He's not really a factor on the boards.
He's been,
I mean, you can see why guys like that are frustrated.
Sure. I get it. They see his paycheck and his production doesn't measure up to it.
Hey, we said we're hooking up listeners throughout the show. 7:55 and 8:55, we're giving away tickets to Game 1. That's tonight of the Stanley Cup playoffs at Capital One Arena. That's at 7:55 and 8:55. But right now, the 10th caller at 800-636-1067 will hook you up with tickets to see the Nats take on the Phillies May 4th at Nats Park. You can come out and get your own Max Scherzer Cy Young bobblehead. Tickets on sale now through the Nats Park box office, but you can win your way in on the Junkies. Get more details at thefandc.com/contests. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. Coming up next, we shift to the NFL draft with John Keim from ESPN.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.